Bill, how are we doing today?
Okay, Glenn. Michael, Steve, doing all right? Yeah, we're ready to get back to work here. Well, we're back to work and ready to get on to Buffalo.
No problems. Everybody came back safe and sound, and everybody's okay, ready to go.
Well, we'll see the players tomorrow, but the coaches' staff's here. We're in one piece.
That's a good start, yeah. Anyway. Yeah.
Well, is there anything in particular you do to get guys thinking back? You know, I mean, sometimes you get 3-4 days away, and you can lose a little track sometimes. Is there any certain thing you'll say to them or do with them to get them back into preparation mode?
I would say that that's part of it. Just getting that done, what the right thing is to say or how to present it or whatever. There's different ways to do it, but I think that's the idea, though, is to get everybody focused and to have a good day tomorrow, which is kind of like a Wednesday for us to get off to a good start. And even though Buffalo's a team we know, we've got to re-prepare for them again, and they certainly have a lot of explosive players and weapons on their team. So tomorrow needs to be a big day for us, and that'll be our target as a coaching staff and as a team. You know, talk to the captains about it and some of our other veteran players, and hopefully we'll get that kind of response tomorrow. I expect we will.
They went on the road yesterday, Buffalo, and played a very competitive game. I mean, wound up losing by 12. But that was a 7-6 game for a long time. Right. They're a team, even though you scored 52 points on 45 points second half, we all remember it. They're a team that you have to take seriously, don't you?
It starts on special teams. They lead the league in punt returns and kickoff returns in McKelvin, so he's a dangerous player there. And you know, offensively, we know they can move the ball, they can score points, and defensively, you've got to block that front. You know, with Kelsey and of course Kyle Williams and. Darius inside, Mario, Darius Byrd Jarius Byrd had a couple interceptions against Arizona and beat them. So they've got a lot of good playmakers on their team. And now we know it's always tough against Buffalo. I think our first game against them was, as you said, the score really was nowhere indicative of the fact that we were down by 2 touchdowns in the third quarter.
What have you seen differently from that defense? Because at the beginning of the season, that was something that people were looking at, saying, especially with the acquisition of Mario Williams, this is going to be a very good defense. And they gave up a lot of points, as you just said, 45 against you in the second half. But the last couple of weeks, the defense starting to come back. What are you seeing?
I think they've made a couple scheme changes, and just, you know, they've made more plays. I mean, I don't think they've dramatically changed what they're doing. They still are pretty much who they are and do what they do, and it's a lot of the same players, but they've just been more productive and made more plays.
You got a new player during the bye week. You picked up Talib from Tampa. What was it about him that made him interesting for the Patriots and made him a guy you wanted to acquire?
We just feel like he's a good football player and could help our team. So we haven't seen him yet, but we get him. We'll put him in there and see what happens.
Sorry, Glenn.
Go ahead.
You usually interrupt me, so yeah. You deserve it. I'll say this. I believe in second chances and third chances. If many of us didn't have second or third chances, we wouldn't be here right now. But with Talib, he's had a lot of things on the field and off the field, suspended right now. He's had a lot of chances to do the right thing and with mixed results. How do you view a guy like that? Do you say, whatever he did somewhere else, that's the issue, we'll deal with that, and that's in his past, and he's got a clean slate with us? Or do you heavily weigh what he's done in the past and figure out if it will work, if this guy will work for you? I mean, how do you look at a player with all these things on his rap sheet?
I think anytime you acquire a player, you look at the get all the information you can and make a decision based on the total balance and body of information that you have. So we've done that with all the players, really, draft choices, trades, signings, whatever it happens to be. So the process is the same.
I was going to ask, because you've done this before and you've been very successful in the past with guys that are so-called questionable character guys, and you've got them on the program. Is there something that you demand of them from this day forward when they come in here that changes some of their habits?
In the end, we feel when we bring any player onto our team, we feel comfortable with that player. So whatever the plan is to deal with any individual player or whatever his situation or circumstances are, whoever that player is, it doesn't matter. Then if we feel like we can do that as an organization, as a team, then we can acquire him. And if we don't, then we don't.
What is his particular skill set, and where do you project him in the lineup?
Well, he's played corner throughout his entire college and professional career, so.
Does that mean McCourty moves to safety, or does it mean there's a rotation?
Well, I don't know. We haven't put the player on the field yet.
Okay.
Can't even talk to him right now, right?
Right.
Can't even have a conversation.
Well, yeah, I mean, how does that work? If you can't, is that an awkward situation where you acquire a guy and you have certain expectations for him, yet you can't talk to him for a while? I mean, even with draft picks, I mean, you call them up and say, hey, you're a Patriot. How you doing? Looking forward to you working hard. In this case, you can't talk to him. Is that, does that present a challenge? Is that difficult?
Well, it's what the rules are, so we'll comply with whatever the rules are.
I know you've said this in the past when we talked about these issues. You've said the most important thing is how much the guy loves football and how much he, you know, just eats, sleeps, and drinks football. When you're trying to evaluate guys who have had some issues in the past, does that still play into it, big, that love of football and just wanting it?
Sure, absolutely.
There's a lot of times sometimes that people and fans do it, they get the impression sometimes because a guy has had some issues, and who knows their background, what they've dealt with in their childhood, they forget about what they do out in the football field and how committed they are in the football field. They almost think that they don't really care about playing football. I know we've had that conversation in the past. I forget whether we were talking Brian Cox or whoever we were talking about, but I know we've had that conversation in the past, and that's a point that you've always brought up.
Yeah, I think that's valid, and we'll see.
Bill, you know that I love the draft, and we've had some conversations about the draft and pros and cons of it, and how it works sometimes for you and how it doesn't. If you look at your drafts, you've had some great ones, and then you've also had a lot of capital spent a lot of capital on defensive backs, first round, second round, third round. With results that don't match up with the rest of your draft picks here with the Patriots, why is it difficult? It seems to be difficult to get that position, right here, whether it's at cornerback or at safety.
Well, I mean, as you know, drafting's an exact science. I think we can look at any team, ours or anybody else's, and you're going to see some players that worked out and some players that didn't. So. In the end, we try to do the best we can, but we're not perfect. We make mistakes, and I think if you evaluate anybody else's, you'll find the same thing with theirs. So that's the draft.
Is it a position that you are you asking more out of corners that you think that a lot of other teams are? I mean, for example, you don't just play a simple defense all the time. Where Indianapolis, for example, when under Dungy. Didn't ask as much as their corners as you do. Do you think that's it? That you're asking more out of that position than some other teams do, and therefore it's difficult to find that guy who can do what you want him to do?
I don't know. I really don't know what the other 31 teams are telling any of their players. All I know is what we tell our players, and you know how we run our program. So I can't really evaluate what anybody else is or isn't telling their guys to do.
Bye week comes right in the middle of the season. How much time have you spent in just evaluating your team? And I know you talk about you do evaluations every week, but you've had some extra time right now where you might have some time to work on some of these things. How much time have you spent breaking it down and what you need to fix here before you even worry about who you're playing in the next game?
Sure. Well, we've done some of that, yeah, definitely, and more of it than we would normally do because, as you say, there was a little bit more time. So we've tried to look at ourselves over the first half of the season and try to see what things were doing well statistically and from an execution standpoint just on tape and what things were not doing so well and make some decisions as to whether we want to try to change some things or try to do them better or add something or throw it out or whatever the case might be. So, and it's a combination of all those things depending on what aspect or what phase of the game you're looking at. So You know, but we've definitely spent more time on that. But at the same time, we've still have to get our team ready to play Buffalo, and that's the next hurdle. So we gave them plenty of attention to them too.
Anything in your self-scouting jump out at you on either end of the spectrum, good or bad, that you wanted to focus on during the bye week?
Yeah, sure, plenty of things. And we'll some of those are individual, some of them are unit things, some of them are team things. And we talked to the players about that when they were in on Thursday. We'll continue to emphasize or change or modify some of those things this week going forward. It's a lot of little things. It's a lot of things that are vary from unit to unit or player to player. But that's sure, that's all part of it. I mean, the big key now is to try to get better, to try to get our team individually and collectively better as we go into the second half of the season.
When you're going into that the second half of the season, you've got that bye week right at the midpoint. Do you try to anticipate what other teams might be thinking about your squad, or do you just really focus on your own team? You know, I mean,
I think it's a combination. You look at your team, and you also look at the rest of your schedule and say, okay, well, who, you know, what are we going to be facing with these next eight teams? I mean, are seven of them, you know, what do they have in common? What do, you know, what issues do, are we pretty sure or do we think are going to come up? And is there a common thread or a common theme that we would want to have in two-thirds of those games or maybe all the games or maybe none of the games? Maybe something that we've had to deal with in the first half of the season we can look at and say, I don't know how much more this is really going to happen this year. You know, do we how much attention we want to give that versus giving to something else? So, you know, I think it's more of an awareness thing. Of course, any team could do anything any week. We know that, but there are some things that are a little more frequent than others. And we've looked at how teams are playing us, what they're doing against us schematically, and try to project: is that something we think that we'll continue to see, or is that maybe something that is a little more specific to these teams? But, you know, teams like the Jets and Buffalo, teams that we played in the first half of the season that we'll play in the second half. We haven't played Miami yet, so it's two games against them. But, you know, there's four games right there, teams that we're pretty familiar with.
Mm-hmm. You mentioned those two games with Miami. That's one reason to spend more time on Miami than, say, Buffalo or the Jets. But is the quarterback situation, you got a rookie quarterback you haven't played against before, and a rookie head coach, does that present other challenges too? I mean, do you really know what to expect from this team?
No, I don't know. We know more now than we knew at the beginning of the season. But we'll see them when we get to them, along with everybody else. But again, I'm just saying from a big picture standpoint, when you look at the start of your season, you go into training camp, and you look at the beginning of your season, say, okay, well, here's our first two, three, four, five opponents. Here's some things that we're gonna, you know, we expect that we're going to have to deal with. You kind of take those into consideration in your training camp preparations and how you prepare for the start of the regular season. And I think we're kind of at that same point now, that the eight games that we've played are done. We'll see two of those teams again, but we're also going to see some other teams. And what does it look like we're going to be facing? You know, how many 3-4 teams, how many 4-3 teams, how many blitz zone teams, how many man-to-man teams, how many multiple receiver teams, how many multiple tight end teams, how many two back teams, you know, what does it look like we're going to be seeing more of on third down in the red area, blitzes, that type of thing, and just to kind of have an awareness of what it looks like we should possibly be ready to anticipate from a big picture standpoint. But having done that and having said that, now it's time to turn our attention to Buffalo and get ready for Buffalo, and whatever the other teams do, they do. But you know, we've talked about some of that.
It's interesting when you watch these teams from week to week. You always see something new, and you always start looking at a team and saying, "Man, they look different than they looked 3 or 4 weeks ago." And the preparation when you're getting ready for a team, how much do you notice now when you get to this point of the season that, you know, one player or two players, specific guys, they're making an impact where they weren't earlier in the season, or teams changed up what they're doing because they've found that they have a strength that they can go to? See a lot of that?
Oh, without a doubt. Absolutely. And I think that's a big key to the second half of the season. No question. Yeah, you just can't. I just don't think you can keep doing the same thing in this league over and over again and think that it's going to work. I mean, the other teams are just too good. They got good coaches. They got good players. And you just try to do the same thing every time, or every time you get in a certain situation, go to the same play. You know, I'd say every team in the league can defeat that. They know what you're in. They know what you're going to do. They're going to find a way to stop it. You know, you just don't have that kind of imbalance in the National Football League. So you've got to be aware of what you're doing. You've got to keep it moving. I don't think you want to just do the same thing all the time. I just don't think that's a successful formula. So I agree. I think you see that a lot. I think you see teams change up and go to different things, and teams overplay certain tendencies, and then you counter them. A lot of times they're just not ready for them, and that's where a lot of those plays come from, plays that their teams aren't working on, they don't expect, and they haven't seen. And now if you're able to go out there and execute it well, then that can give you a big advantage at this time of year, no question.
Can coaching staffs overthink these things or outthink themselves in terms of trying to anticipate something like that?
Well, yeah, I'm sure you can. Yeah, there's always the, you know, I know that you know that you know
right.
that I know
right.
that you know
right.
that, you know. So, I mean, in the end, I think the bottom line, it still comes down to execution. You have to be able to go out there and do it, whatever it is, whatever play you run, whatever coverage you use, whatever it is, you've got to be able to go out there and just do it and do it well against multiple looks. I mean, you can't tell exactly what they're going to be doing, so you have to be ready to defend a bunch of different things or run your play against a bunch of different looks.
It's like that old Paul Brown story. I think they were playing Philadelphia or something. He thinks I'm going to throw every time, and I'm going to run just because right. he thinks I'm, you know, right. going round and round, and think he wound up running or passing or whatever. Just yeah. crazy.
Quarterback snake.
Yeah, exactly. Bill, now it's time for the coach's question of the week, brought to you by your local Mercedes-Benz dealers and their complete lineup of 2013 models. On the web at mbusa.com, Mary in Boston wants to know simply, what was the most fun thing you did during the bye week?
Sleep.
Yeah, making good use of time.
Got caught up on that. Felt good. Got a few good nights sleep, and feel a much higher level of energy and alertness and clarity and all that. So extra sleep was good.
What do you get during a regular season?
I was gonna say, I don't think Mary in Boston realizes that this is yeah. this is not normal. Yeah. Coaches usually, head coaches certainly. Oh.
How much do you get during the regular season? This is a big week here. How much sleep you get? 4 hours, five?
I don't know. It varies, but so, I got a lot more this week. and you don't have the anxiety of, you know, what could happen on Sunday, because this is one Sunday. Nobody's gonna get hurt. There's not gonna be any big drama. Let the other teams play it out and come back and get ready to go to work. So it's, I mean, I think mentally, I really felt our players felt that too. Just mentally, the pressure of not another game plan, not another scouting report, not another set of adjustments, not another set of what ifs they do this, what if they do that, what do we do, and all that. You could just, you know, just the relief of not having an exam for a week. You know, even though you know you're going to have another one next week, but just that 1 week of kind of taking a weight off your shoulders where there's no test, there's no exam, there's no pressure of a lot of critical decisions for 1 week, it really lightens the load a lot mentally.
So during the season, I guess, you know, another – it was a Bill Walsh, who's his girlfriend or wife asked him at one point, you know, it's third long somewhere, isn't it, Bill? You know, you're having dinner.
is
that what it's like for you during the season? I mean, if you could be hanging out at the house or whatever, going out to dinner, right, is it just natural that you start to drift off and think about?
No, sure. Occasionally, yeah. It comes, yeah, third and long, the overload punt rush, the, you know, the kickoff return, the throwback on the kickoff return, the onside kick, the, sure, yeah, all that stuff, the goal line pass that you didn't defend in practice that they haven't run in 2 years, but you know they have it.
And the guy's just asking if you want more Pinot. And you're thinking about something
else. I was going to say, the good news, you got lots of sleep. Yeah. The bad news, you had nightmares during, you know.
Coach's
hour. I want to hear your players say they got the same amount of sleep, too. So that's going to be just as important.
Hey, the good news is we didn't hear.
I think they did.
Yeah. Yeah, the good news is we didn't
see him out on the streets in Boston.
We didn't hear about Gronk for the whole week. Yeah. That is good news right there. Back to work. Good luck against Buffalo. We'll see you back here next week, Bill.
All right, thanks, Glenn. See you, Michael. All right, see you next week.
Bill
Belichick right here on The Big Show.